If the writer's strike is making you curse your television for want of new material, you can always watch The Picket Lines. They can hardly get more glamorous than this. Screen actors and Writers Guild members mingle liberally, the glitterati and the neurotic. Jay Leno and Vanessa Williams brought protesters snacks, while the likes of Tina Fey, John Oliver, and America Ferrera walk the line. For a writer's strike, somehow you'd expect the signs to be better. But if Picket Cam can't hold your attention, there are always reruns. Not sure what all the Wire devotees are talking about? Secretly curious about Battlestar Galactica? Want to remember why Joss Whedon's Buffy was such a cult favorite? Time to hit your Netflix or your TiVo or see if your cable system carries TV Land. What reruns are you most looking forward to during the writer's strike? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now is Tim Goodman, TV critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's with us from his home today in Oakland, California. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks, Neil.
And we're already bereft of Colbert and Stewart and the late-night yakkers. So where should we turn, do you think?
Well, I did a column the other day in the Chronicle where I said, obviously we're not going to get hit that hard by the strike until January. That's when a lot of the new content's going to go away. But there's no time like now to start getting into your Netflix queue and rearranging things and updating in your mind exactly what you're going to go to when we run out of content, because we will do that. And I think there's a lot of really good dramas and really good comedies that not only have people, forgotten about or passed over because there's so many offerings on television, but they may never have even heard of in the first place. When they go back and find it, they'll be delighted.
Yeah, and the first thing you suggest is, empty your TiVo or your DVR.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, Neil. It's actually been a year ago. In the Chronicle, I sort of coined this term called Tino, which was meaning you'd TiVo it, but you'd not watch it. And I think now that's about a year old now, I think we can actually empty the TiVo out. We can actually watch all the shows that we Tinoed and didn't watch. We can get to those right away.
A lot of Ken Burns hours, you figure, in that category?
Yeah, I actually suggested that one of the things people should do immediately is definitely go back and watch The War. It was far and away the best thing of the fall anyway. This was a weak fall slate from the network, and so this was a good chance for people to go back and get those out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And not castor oil at all. Fun to watch.
Oh yeah, I mean, educational, and I joked about it. I've interviewed Ken a number of times, and I joked that it was going to take forever for people to get through their TiVos on this thing. But I think it's 15 and a half hours, and I just thought it was just phenomenal. I could have actually at the end of that. It's not a joke. I could have watched 15 more.
Here's an email from John in Davis, California. During the writer's strike, we must absolutely bring back Fox's Arrested Development. Long live the Bluth Company. My favorite quote from the show, I've made a huge mistake.
Right. Yes, Arrested Development's on one of my top lists there. But it's funny because I think that as we go along, I didn't want to overwhelm people and say, give them 20,000 choices, but maybe now's a good time. Arrested Development, I think, is one of the – it ran three seasons on Fox, but it is definitely one of the most underappreciated sitcoms that's ever been on television because it was so sly and so understated. I've said before, I think that there's like a 4-to-1 joke ratio compared to your standard sitcom. So now would be a really good time to go back and start with that first season and rent that and start to see just how brilliant those guys were.
Wait a minute. Go back, rent the DVDs. Isn't that what the writers are striking over? Because they're not going to get a dime?
Yeah, there's more than a bit of irony in this, of course. Yes, we're going to be, and that's why they're out. I guess that could be our reminder that's why they're out. They didn't get a slice of that pie before, and it's really has fueled, it's fueled television of late, but it's definitely fueled the film industry. But television jumped into it late, and now that's just a really great revenue stream for them, and the writers want part of that.
Let's get another listener involved in the conversation. By the way, if you'd like to join me and Tim Goodman as we discuss reruns we'd like to see during the writer's strike, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Eric is with us. Eric calling from Boise, Idaho.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I am a huge fan of Saturday Night Live, and I'm sure that they will be impacted by this strike as well, since they have to write fresh every week. I would implore Lorne Michaels and the Saturday Night people, Mr. Michaels, if you can hear me from the beach in St. Bart's, let's just start from the top. Why don't we watch reruns of the very first and the very second and the very third Saturday Nights that were made in 1975, and let's just enjoy, take it from the top, and Lauren, if you see Dave Letterman down there, suggest the same thing to him.
It sounds like you're starting with episode one. You're buckling in for a long strike there.
Well, you bet. But there's nothing better than the old ones.
All right. Thanks very much, Eric.
Thanks, Neil.
Bye-bye. In fact, a lot of those compilations also available on DVD. I don't know about Letterman, though.
Yes, I don't know about Letterman as well, but the Saturday Night Live has been sliced up in so many different ways. You can even get your favorite actors and their favorite moments.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get, here's an email from Grant in Boone, Iowa. I'd like the CW network to rerun the hilarious pilot episode of Reaper. It was difficult to stifle my gut laugh to avoid waking my infant son who was napping in my arms. I'm not sure those laughs were intended.
Well, you know what? I really liked Reaper as well. Unfortunately, like a lot of the new freshman series this fall, it hasn't lived up to the pilot. That's a familiar territory in television. It hasn't lived up to the pilot. I think Pushing Daisies has definitely done that on ABC.
Yeah.
But if he wants a comedy, I mean, you know, the last caller talked about going back to Saturday Night Live, and Neil, you may be familiar with this as well. This is, I think, the 30th anniversary of My So-Called Life, and that's out on DVD as well.
Mm-hmm. One of your other recommendations, I have to say, is my favorite television show of all time, The Singing Detective.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, The Singing Detective. The other day I said The Wire, which is my personal favorite television show of all time, and The Wire, Deadwood, and Singing Detective. And a lot of people, Neil, have not, you know, you mentioned Singing Detective to them, and they've never even heard of it. And not only was it a Brit import, it was 21 years old, but that is Dennis Potter's just a spectacular piece of work.
You'll never think of psoriasis the same way again.
Exactly.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is John with us from Colorado.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
I think you ought to bring back Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, which is probably the funniest sitcom ever.
Now, that's
Billy Crystal was in it, and it was about a family that was totally dysfunctional. Billy Crystal was the gay son. Mom was always on Valiums. Dad was totally disconnected. Grandpa died by taking too many Valiums and drowning in his chicken soup. Without a doubt, one of the funniest shows ever made.
I think you may be blurring that a little bit with soap, but it's okay. It's a pretty funny show.
Thank you. Knowledge, Neil.
Thanks very much. Are there any of the reruns? You have very high-toned stuff. I mean, for example, you recommend people go back and investigate The Wire if they haven't seen it, or Deadwood, or, as we mentioned, The Singing Detective, Arrested Development. What about those unappreciated sitcoms of the 60s? F Troop, I always thought, was really underrated.
F Troop, good call there. Sure, why not? And, you know, people will be surprised that there are, it used to be we'd get complaints that there was not enough that was on DVD from television series, that they were slow to roll out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they went to their local retailer, or any number of them, or went online or on Netflix, they'd find that a lot of these series are out and available. So it can definitely jog some old memories. But you don't even have to go back that far. There's stuff that I think this is one of the sort of the key tenets of this, is that there's stuff that rolled through our lives that no one saw, which was really incredible stuff, because there was just so much offerings. There were so many offerings that they couldn't get to it. So now is a good time, or during the strike will be a good time, to sort of go back and say, oh, yeah, I heard a lot of water cooler buzz about this show. I should rent it.
And I guess we also have to stipulate that, yeah, we already assume you've seen every Law & Order at least twice.
Well, yeah, two or three times probably. But, a show that we always, a lot of people think everybody's seen, is The Sopranos. And the fact is that only a very small percentage of people have actually seen The Sopranos. I'm sure many more people have actually read about it or know about it than have seen it, but that's a good one to start with as well.
Let's get Jim on the line. Jim calling us from Michigan.
Yeah, actually, one of the ones I would say, you mentioned water cooler comments and things like that. Perfect example of that, Sports Night.
Oh.
That was one that never really got a whole lot of notoriety when it was on the air.
Sports Night was the takeoff of Sports Center with two guys playing the characters, but a great show from a creator who went on to do a little thing called West Wing afterwards.
Right, Aaron Sorkin, and you know what? That's a good reminder too, Neil, that we should keep writers like Aaron Sorkin in mind during this strike. I know that I've got a lot of emails from people who say, you know, I think the knee-jerk reaction from people is, oh, you know, all this is going to mean is that we're going to lose all of our terrible television that we've had to witness over, you know, X amount of years. But, you know, it's also the really good writers and the really good shows that are going to get shut down. And, Sports Night is a good one to go back to and find for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Jim, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to, this is Nate. Nate with us from Minnesota.
Hi. I just wanted to recommend the show Firefly.
Ah, Joss Whedon again.
Yes, another show that was canceled by Fox. And then the fans loved it so much, they kind of made them make a movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that was actually part of the deal. I'm not sure the fans make Fox do a whole lot. But yes, indeed, the movie Serenity, which is sort of a prequel to the series Firefly.
Right.
And both wonderful things. I love that stuff.
I own both the series and the movie, and I try to expose it to as many people as I can.
Mm. Thanks very much. Mm. In terms of science fiction, Battlestar Galactica on the Science Fiction Network, a lot of people snickered as soon as they heard it, thinking of, you know, old 60s TV shows.
Right.
But a lot of critics say, hey, you might want to take a second look.
And again, perfect time for that. I don't consider myself a diehard science fiction fan, so I'm always lobbied by those fans when they want me to watch something on Sci-Fi Channel. But I came to Battlestar Galactica late, and you don't have to be a sci-fi fan to really appreciate what a great series it is. And now's a good time. There's episodes to catch up on, a couple of seasons worth of material, and I think people will really be drawn into the storytelling. Part of the reason that it's so good, and the John Landgraf who runs FX told me this quote one time. He said, "If they had $1 million more, it would be terrible." And so they couldn't do special effects, and they had to do character-driven series or stories, and that's why it's so good.
We're talking with Tim Goodman, a TV critic with the San Francisco Chronicle, about what reruns we'd like to see while the writers are on strike. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go get Phil. Phil's with us from Milford in Michigan.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Neil. Now I'm only 25 years old, but I grew up with Get Smart on Nick at Night.
Huh.
And I feel like with the movie coming out and the advertising connections, they could really make that work if someone was to pick that up.
And if I if my TV ads that I see on TV are correct, Tim Goodman, they've just come out with a couple of seasons worth on DVD.
Exactly. Perfect timing. probably not an accident. But, yeah, Get Smart. Why not? I mean, I think a lot of people who of a certain age have a real appreciation for that. It's funny on these ones, especially the ones that everybody watch in their youth, whether they hold up now critically or provide you with the same entertainment is yet to be seen.
And it might run you $39.95 for DVDs to find out.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Phil, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
There are a lot of these shows. He mentioned Nick at Night, also the TV Land Network, where a lot of these old sitcoms in particular seem to run endlessly.
Yeah, and those I'm sure will be filler for a lot of people. But you know, I've actually tried to encourage people to sort of, you know, those are shows that they know. I think, and I've tried to encourage people to like experiment with something, whether you're renting it or buying it, that you've never seen before. And one of the ones, Neil, that I've recommended for years, and people when they discover it, the feedback I get from them is more than any other show. And it's a Canadian, it's a really really sweet Canadian series called Slings and Arrows. And people who discover Slings and Arrows as a comedy slash drama, they're just changed. They just think, wow, why have I never seen this? This is really great television.
Yeah, and it's produced in Canada?
It's produced in Canada, and it ran for a while on the Independent Film Channel in this country. But it's all three seasons are available on DVD.
All right. Let's go now to Eli. Eli's with us from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
Two shows I wanted to get on here that I haven't heard yet. Our Freaks and Geeks. I really enjoyed that program, and it was only canceled after one season. And then the other one is Twin Peaks.
Oh, you might figure out what it's about after all this time.
Yeah, actually, after a few times watching all the way through, I think I did. But
okay, David Lynch will be pleased.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much for the call. Freaks and Geeks, other shows that went 1 year and out. Wonder Falls, for example, that was a pretty good show too.
Oh, Wonder Falls is great. You know, if fans are of Brian Fuller, who's just put Pushing Daisies on the air and has done some Heroes and Battlestar Galactica stuff, will really like Wonder Falls. It's another Fox show that was canceled. In fact, you could probably get through the first 3 months of the strike, Neil, by Fox shows. They canceled two of Andy Richter's series. So there's a lot that's really good that you can find from Fox. That's actually not a bad way to start.
And if you find out talks are in a critical phase, you can just start mainstreaming 24, mainlining 24.
Right. Just skip over it when it gets a little bit weak. It does get a little weak in the end.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is going to be Jackie. Jackie with us from Connecticut.
Hi. I'd like to see something that hasn't come out on DVD yet, I don't think. It's the middle child of all the Bob Newhart shows, Newhart from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's obscure.
Well, I'd like, you know, I'd pay a lot, I think, to see Larry, Daryl, and Daryl just one more time.
For those who don't remember, I'm Larry, and this is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. Yes. it does have the final episode has what I think by consensus is the greatest wrap up of any series ever.
Yes. The scene where he wakes up and it's
and he's back in bed with Suzanne Plachette from his earlier series. He says, I had this terrible dream. I ran this bed and breakfast in Vermont, and there were these guys, and Larry and Daryl and Daryl.
Yeah, I think that episode might have been better than the whole of the parts, actually, at that point.
Great moments in television. Jackie, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Tim Goodman, thanks very much for your time today.
You bet, Neil. Thank you.
And we'll be keeping our eye out for reruns, I guess, starting tonight at 11:30 or so. 11:35 is when they say. That's when we're going to see reruns, in fact, of Jay Leno and David Letterman and on, Colbert. They're all in reruns now. It'll hit the network scripted shows, Everybody Figures, in 2 or 3 months. After that, maybe, it'll hit the movies, too. See how long the strike goes on. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.